Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Things opening up to the left side of the ice. McLeod carries it in. Alex Tuck and Dahlin. Here's Tuck in front. Scores! Sabres in overtime salvage it in Edmonton, and they take 2 points from the Oilers, and they sweep the season series against McDavid and company.
First ever win was by Buffalo at the Raj. I wouldn't call it home for them, but it is a place of comfort as they win again and get back in the win column.
Yeah, and it was needed, obviously, starting to trip 0-3. And they were up 3-0 in this one, and it slipped away quickly in the start of the third period and then late again. But a win's a win, and you kind of just hope to build off of that. Now, it was Sabres After Dark. It was a 9 p.m. start, so I hope that most people stayed with the game. I mean, after the second period, I think there's probably a lot of people that were like, oh, up 3-0, this is going to be a win. And they wake up today, and they're like, what the heck happened? And they're trying to catch up on what happened in the third period in overtime and how did that go to overtime. But for those that did not watch it or weren't, you know, staying up late for it, there was a lot that happened from even before the game in warmups and through the game with injuries and adversity and all of that. So there was definitely an eventful night in Edmonton that was capped up with a win.
Well, take us through your thoughts on the adversity.
Well, obviously, so it started with, you know, Lindy Ruff talking about Jason Zucker, who is going to be out week to week. And he did say the night before he got hurt in the second period against Calgary, and he played through a significant injury. So that was already, like, Zucker was probably the best Sabres forward, the more consistent, the everything that he was given. So you're thinking, oh boy, we're not going with Jason Zucker. And that's the reason why Isaac Rosanne was called up from Rochester. Now, he has to go through a travel day of getting to Edmonton, but apparently everything was easy and fine. He got there, no problem. He's playing. So we're getting ready to, you know, kind of toss to the guys for the start of the game. And we hear Josh Norris is a late scratch. So we're like, what happened? Now, like, it's, you know, the alarm bells are ringing because it's Josh Norris. Now, Lindy did say in his media availability at around 7 p.m. that there's a couple of guys we got to, you know, check and warm up. And comes out that, well, Norris was ill, so illness. But he also said he tweaked a little something in warm up that is not related to his latest injury. So, and there's some concern there, obviously, a big question mark. Like, well, you don't have Josh Norris, so now Josh Dunn is thrown into the lineup. So there was definitely some adversity right from the get-go, knowing that you're losing probably your two hottest point producer, goal scorers, and offensive players in the last little bit here, and both of them were gone, having to play the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, there's a lot to. There's no definitive word on either, though. So it's kind of moot to try to speculate what happens here, right?
Well, there was not definitive as to what is the injury to Zucker, but that it is. He used the word significant injury, labeled as week to week lower body right now. Mm-hmm. Norris, we don't know. Norris, mm-hmm. we may not know for, you know, a little bit here. Maybe they're on the West Coast now, so it may be later in the day, maybe even tomorrow until we know. But a combination of illness and soreness was the official word.
Well, Lindy, first of all, on the win itself.
We lose Norris. That was one hell of a tender. You know, we were banged up. We've lost bodies. We lose Zucker. And we play in a back. There's no reason. I mean, it's not even close. It's just icing, and you got to call it, and it gave them life. I thought the glove pass, I don't know where that came from either. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody in the league knows anymore where it comes from. But there's no way you can miss it. I understand if the guy's a foot from center ice. He's 5 feet from center ice. He dumps it in. It's an icing call. We're getting first touch. How they missed that call. And so, I mean, I love the way our guys played. Our guys battled through everything. We battled through every element out there.
Well, again, sorry, there's a lot going on here in a lot of different directions, and I'm not doing a very good job with it, but...
No, you're fine. It's Lindy went all over the place when talking about adversity, so that was the one thing. He went from warm-up to...
Yeah, like, I'm tired of hearing about the calls. Like, I just, like, you won the game. You know?
Yeah, and part of me wants to, like, today be able to settle, like, all of that talk because, like, obviously, I was fired up after the game for the win, right? So Alex Tuch scores in overtime. It was a comeback from the Oilers. McDavid has two goals. I got home, and I started to just get into this rabbit hole of social media because, you know, I had been in contact with the NHL ops room. And so I wanted to clarify a few things. And I started reading a lot of what's being said out there. And to be honest with you, like, I'm not saying people don't get the game and people don't understand the game, but there's a lot of people on social media that are saying things that are completely untrue. And they're complaining about this situation room is in Toronto. They got to move it out of there. Do you think the people that are working the situation room in Toronto care that it is in Toronto? It could be in Australia. It doesn't matter. It's in Toronto because that's where a lot of hockey people and offices are. And they're like, you should move it to somewhere else. It doesn't matter. And, you know, there was some calls that were being made that were, okay, debatable, controversial, but it's not that the league is against the Sabres. And that's because, you know, we haven't made the playoffs. Like, I was like, enough of that. So for me, like, having this show, part of it was wanting to just say, hey, this is what happened in the game. This is why it happened. I get that Lindy is emotional after a game and he's calling on the icing and whatever, but calls happen and hand pass or whatever, it happens. So I'm like, maybe we should go through what happened in the game, starting from the injuries or whatever, and then go through it so people understand what really happened the next day when emotions are, like, you know, evened out after the game last night.
Well, I mean, they got the call right on goaltender interference.
They did. And they actually got the call right in calling down for the concussion spotter. Because now we know that, well, you know what? Colton Ellis did not pass the concussion spotter test, was put in concussion protocol. Mm-hmm. It took a little longer. So, you know, he gets hit. There's a penalty. Sabres go on the power play. They scored a goal, right? Josh Doan deflection goal. But it took a little longer. But there's also a process there. The independent neurologist is going to review the video, decide what's the reaction from Colton Ellis, call down, say, we got to remove him. Then they talk to the Sabres trainer. It's not instant, right? So, but they got it right. It led to the Sabres' first goal. Now, I did say in the intermission, I think that was a bump and Colton Ellis will probably be back. But again, like, He failed the test, and he was put in concussion protocol. So Lyon had to come in. He made a big save late in the first, and I thought played really well in the game as well.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty hard hit.
It was hard, but I because he bounced back after that, like he didn't take his mask off and sprayed with water and the trainer didn't come out. I'm like, okay, maybe he's okay. But when you look back at it, you're right. Like the head was, like his neck and head completely jarred to the left when he got hit. So that was a pretty significant hit.
And what about the birthday boy and his performance, Alex Lyon?
Look, Alex Lyon has had one start in 11 games now. And the previous start before that was the Colorado game where he played 6 minutes and gave up two, right? So he's had two in like 15 or whatever. He came in the third period against Calgary, made four saves. I felt like maybe that's a warm-up for him to start, but they went with Colton Ellis because he had played the Oilers earlier. I thought Alex Lyon was good. I thought he did exactly what he needed to do. He made a couple of big saves in that second period. The Oilers had a couple of power plays in the second period. They were 5-for-6 on the power play going into the game, and Sabres did well, and Lyon did well. It got overwhelming in the third period, obviously, for everybody, but I got to give credit to Alex Lyon, the 33-year-old Alex Lyon now, for coming in on consecutive nights and getting the job done. Like, not that it's not an easy thing to do. I felt like yesterday was probably an easier thing to do because as a backup goalie, if you're down 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, and then you're like, we're playing like crap, and now I'm going to get a tap on my shoulder to go in the net. Like, you always want to play, but there's certain situations like this one, it's competitive. You're going in the game, you're up 1-0, it's the first period. Like, this is my game. I'm taking it as my game. I felt like he responded well, and maybe the situation was perfect for him to go in that and get his first win since late October.
Tage Thompson's streak of games having a goal taken off the board for a different reason continues. Last night it was the right call again.
And it was the right call.
And it's been the hot topic across the league, which made it very clear that it was going to be not a goal.
So it was the right call. And Alex Tuch said after the game, it was kind of funny. He goes, telling everybody, we have the clip. So we, Sam, if you want to play the clip of Alex Tuch, then we'll talk about it just because he had a bit of a sneaky moment post game about his hand pass moment.
Yeah, I didn't think that was a goal.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I was telling the guys to line up at center ice as quickly as possible. I knew it went off my glove. I don't know the exact rule because my glove was still on my stick and it wasn't really, I didn't bat at it or anything. I just put my hand up and it went off my glove. I think it's more of a deflection than a hand pass, but Toronto made the call and, you know, we just stuck with it. And I think Tomer got a goal right shortly afterwards. So it was good.
It's kind of funny that he kept telling everybody, line up quick so that they don't take it off the board. They can't review it. They can't challenge it. Now, he's right and correct on one thing. The rule book is very, again, I would rewrite a lot of the rules to make sure that it's more specific. It says if you bat or play a puck with the open hand, the rule book says with the open hand. So, you know, there was no open hand by Alex Tuch on the play. His hand is on the stick, but there's clearly an advantage gained by him pushing the puck forward of the glove and, you know, going in that way. So I get it. The part that Lindy was mad after the game, we don't necessarily need to play his clip if we don't want to, because, you know, he got angry a couple of times and we heard that already, but it's that he goes back to the Florida hand pass and he goes back to the Tampa Bay hand pass. Now, you can't group all of them together. I feel like the NHL made the wrong call on the Tampa Bay hand pass against Pittsburgh, and John Cooper had a rant about it. And I felt like the NHL got it wrong in the Brad Marchand hand pass, Florida against Columbus. It should have been waved off, but they counted it. Mm-hmm. So he's talking about the consistency. But in that play, in that moment, I think that the hand pass was off the glove, pushed forward to Thompson for the goal, and I felt like they got it right. Now, I got people are going to say, well, you're protect. Again, that's one thing I got last night. I'm not protecting the NHL. I'm calling the game as I see it. And I thought there was a hand pass. And Alex Tuch thought it was a hand pass too. So, you know what? You move on. And then you score right away after. So, at least that was that.
Yes, Thompson involved significantly in the offense in that play and the night before when it was offside in Calgary. Lindy on that topic.
There's no explanation. I mean, I watch every hand pass from the Marchand one to the ones that are called a hand pass. There's two hands on his stick. I don't even think he sees the puck. There's no hand off the stick. I don't know how they come up with hand pass. That boggles me. Somebody has to explain it to me. How that one is, and the one in Florida I watched isn't. No explanation. I want to know why they didn't review with 1 second left goalie interference. That's a league review. Why didn't they review it? Was the guy not on the edge of the crease? Not a good night.
Well, we'll get to that.
We will get to that because, you know, obviously that was later in the game, so we'll talk about it. But
you're gonna have to pick up the pace if you want to knock off all this chronological stuff.
Okay, well, we'll pick up the pace. You know, third period starts and Lindy's mad about the icing, and I get it. In my opinion,
I think you're missing the Doan goals. No.
Oh yeah, we could. Well, the Doan goal was between the leg. It was beautiful, beautiful goal, and I get that. But I'm just picking up the pace here. Doan scored through the leg. It was great. But the parts that I'm just saying, people were upset about online or talking about, and Lindy was upset about too. And I want to make sure that we have a clear head looking at all of this is the icing. Now, the amount of times that icings are going to get waved off when a guy is 3-4 feet short of the red line, we see it every night. Duffer, you and I watch a lot of games. We see it every night. It happens. Mm-hmm. Do I think there was icing on the plate? Probably should have been called. But do I also think that the linesmen were maybe not in the right position? One was jumping off the bench to try to avoid being hit by a puck that was going to be potentially be rimmed in. The other guys that across the ice, far away, maybe he wasn't paying attention to that because the other guy was closer. I don't know what happened there. But they waved it off. You got to play. I get it. You're up 3-0. Okay, he missed an icing and ends up being a goal. It's 3-1. No big deal. No big deal. Keep playing. Now, a minute and 46 seconds later, you give up another goal because Podkolzin is alone in front of the net, taking 3 whacks at it. So that's the problem. The problem is the compounding of everything. But a missed icing happens every game. So it happened there. Yeah, Lindy was emotional about it, but he was mad about it. And it kind of, that was Connor McDavid's first goal of the night. And, you know, I put the Sabres on their heel at that point.
But did you think it was really a missed icing?
I thought that if...
No player on the ice reacted to it that way.
No player reacted to it that way because I think it was waved off early enough to say, right, we got to keep playing. Now, if you show that in referee school, I think you're going to say that's icing. But, you know, we could go and look at every penalties that are called, every icing. Things that are called every, it happens. It's not going to be 100% in the game. It happens, right? That's just the way it is. So you move on. You keep playing. And McDavid picked up the puck, beat Kosak, and went around Lyon and scored. It's 3-1. There's no big deal. You're still in control of the game. Now it allowed the Oilers to come back a little bit more, but you know that's just one play out of many.
What about the review at the end or non-review? How did you view it?
So this is how I, number one, people and people still didn't know online a lot that in the last minute of the third period and in overtime, there is no coach's challenge. The league looks at all goals for offside, for missed stoppage of play, and for goalie interference in all last minute of the third period and overtime. So that play happens, and obviously there's contact with Alex Lyon at the top of the crease, and... You know, if you're Lindy Ruff, you're looking down on the screen, you call the referee over. While you're doing all of this, the situation room is reviewing from the time the puck got in the zone, if they missed everything, till the puck gets in the net. They are reviewing it. The penalty box door is open. Lindy's talking to the referee, but they're doing all of that. And then the penalty door closes. The judge on the box gives him the thumbs up. Okay. It's a good goal. Now, often, you know, we're going to get the referees to maybe go to the iPad and say, hey, they're reviewing something. But that was the only game going on at that time. The situation room was because the other game that was on was an intermission. They're only watching one game. It doesn't take long to look at the play. And when I looked at the play, I saw Bo Byram make contact with Draisaitl outside the crease, which pushed Draisaitl into Lyon outside the crease, but just on the edge. I'm looking at it, and I'm like, that's not goaltender interference. So because Lindy was like, why didn't they review it? And it was kind of not sure if they did. I just sent an email to NHL Op, and I said, hey, did you guys review the goal? And they said, yes. The goal was reviewed by the situation room, and it was determined that there was no goaltender interference. Easy as that. So... Mm-hmm. We're not complaining that they didn't review it. They went through the process and felt like that was a good goal. I felt like it was a good goal. But again, like you're after a game and your emotions are flying and Lindy was mad and he had, you know, we've had Lindy rants before. He had a rant and he was mad about it.
The only thing anybody should have been upset about last night was the missed tackle by Curtis Lazar on Jack.
That was awful.
That's a joke. That more than anything else in the game last night was a joke because they had called these penalties that had both sides infuriated.
Oh my gosh.
And then you literally pull a guy that everyone can see and then hog tie him right at center ice. Like, what are we doing?
That was pass interference. You know, when you're like the wide receiver and then you pull his jersey back, like it didn't pull back a couple of inches. It stretched to about 2 feet. Like when he pulled him back. And there was a bad call on Alex Tuch on Zach Hyman. Zach Hyman was trying to draw a penalty so bad that he threw himself head first into the boards, not being touched by anybody. Mm-hmm. He's yelling at the referee, got up. Tuch plays the body on Hyman. Hyman throws himself, and they call the penalty on Tuck, which was not a penalty. That made it 4-on-4 for a few seconds, you know. But then RNH took the hooking penalty after that. But it wasn't a good game for the officials. More importantly, I don't think they communicated with the fans, with the viewers, with the coaches, with the players well to let them know what was happening, what was going on. So I think that led to a lot of frustration by pretty much everybody. But now the game is tied and you go to OT and you're like, oh boy, you know, the Oilers are going to be flying. Well, the Oilers never touched the puck in OT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You know, I said post-game, face-offs only matter when they matter. They lose the face-off in OT, but we find out late after the game that Alex Tuck said Ryan McLeod told him he was going to play it forward because the defenseman was so tight on the circle that he said, if I play it forward all the way into the Edmonton zone, can you beat your guy? Mm-hmm. And Tuck said, yeah, go ahead. So McLeod went forward. It's a face-off loss, but it was a set play. And Tuck beats Bouchard to the puck. Bouchard, who had a tough game, and then they have possession. They don't lose possession. McLeod finds Tuck in the slot, and it's game. So, yeah, I mean, they get a win. Maybe it sparks some emotions into them because of the way the whole game went, and everybody seemed infuriated and angry with the way that it went, still winning the game.
How many goals for Josh Doan this season, based on now up to 10?
Well, I think he has the ability and the potential to get to close to 30. I would say 25 to 30 would be a really good number, in my opinion. And he could be a 30-goal scorer, like in the NHL, regularly. He's playing top power play. He's in the net front presence. He's good at that. So, yeah, I would say 25 to 30, knowing that he's at 10 now and he's kind of heating up a little bit. And maybe, you know, who knows what happens with Norris and with Zucker and whatever, but there may still more ice time and opportunity for Josh Doan to get to that number.
It was a huge night last night. The power play, by the way, is 7 for 23 in the last five games.
Yeah, and they move the puck well. And the number one thing that they are doing is they're taking that shot from Dahlin in the middle of the ice. Like, it led to Tuck scoring in Calgary. It led to Doan scoring. And then it leads to teams now more protecting the middle of the ice on Dahlin's shot and opening other plays, like a down low play to Josh Doan. Because you look at the way the Oilers were defending that, they were protecting the bumper, Benson, and they were protecting the shot from Dahlin. So when Thompson got the puck, he had a clear lane to go to Doan, and Doan made a nice play between the legs, but there was a clear lane there for him to go because now you're giving the penalty killers something else to worry about, which is the Dahlin shot from the top.
And power plays up to 20% on the year, which is a nice number to build upon. And it's funny because another two-goal night, they had four power play goals in Alberta, but you mentioned the 5-on-3. And the fact they didn't score on it, and it could have been a major, major, major issue as to why they didn't win. But they pulled it
out. Tuck missed a glorious chance from the slot, right? Mm-hmm. He had a one-timer in the
blocked.
Slot.
It was blocked.
But yeah, Stuart Skinner was gone. Like, it got deflected, it got blocked. And then Dahlin hit just the outside of the net with a one-timer, and it made a big sound, like almost the post, but it hit the metal at just the outside of the net. But they had a couple looks, but that would have been a nice way to say, you know what? Here you go. We're scoring, and we're walking out of here with a regulation win. Instead, it's an overtime win.
Yeah, and the Oilers did not look good in their defensive zone coverage, allowing Tuck to score the winner, for sure. As far as last night, quickly around the NHL, you know, the Ducks continue to amaze. But you like smart players. I like smart players. I think Pittsburgh failed the IQ test in the final 5 seconds of the game. Like, you're on the power play. You're up by a goal. If you get close to somebody with the puck, take a penalty. Like, just don't let them go to the net. And with one
take
tenth
it down.
Of a second, it's so ridiculous. And it's just funny because Crosby's the greatest and smartest guy in the world. And yet it happened to them, you know. But yeah, Beckett Senek is the best rookie in the NHL, in my opinion, this year. It's not even close. And that's no disrespect to any of the other guys, but he is a game changer. And it's not just the moments where he scores. He is unbelievable to watch every night. He has an attitude that is unlike any other first-year guy. I know he's going to be hard-pressed to win it because all the Schaefer talk, but he's my Calder guy, 100%. Anyway, he scores with a tenth of a second left as Carlson throws it into his own net.
Yes.
Unintentionally.
And then they win it in a shootout, which... the last attempt in the shootout for Pittsburgh was not a very good one. It made it easy, but again, like, it was that Leo Carlson had an unbelievable backhand goal in the shootout. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful skilled play to go over Artur Shilov's on the play. That was, man, that reminded me a little bit of Noah Osland, the way that he was able to, like, Noah Osland in Rochester, the backhand move. Now, in the NHL, Noah Osland brought it back to the forehand, but very similar in the way that they go to the backhand.
Osland expected to be in the Amherst lineup tonight as they are in Belleville. We got Brody Ziemer coming up, continuing our look at guys who are looking for another gold medal at the World Juniors. So we'll get to that in a second. Ryan Miller's Catwalk for Charity is also on deck. It's January 16th, a Friday night at Babeville. It's presented by the New Era Cap Foundation, and it's going to have a lot of Ryan's teammates from the 0506 live set from Strictly Hip Open Bar. Lots more. Sabres.com/catwalk. We're back after this.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Road Crew Party coming up. It is January 19th in Nashville. Can't wait. It's a big watch party. It starts early in the day. You can go to sabres.com/roadcrew to learn more. Proceeds, of course, support the Sabres Foundation. Secure your spot now. Sabres are going to be in Nashville the next night. Good opportunity to enjoy a couple. Sorry, still fighting the bad voice here. And, you know, it is what it is, but not my
you
best
You sound better than I did earlier in the year when I was fighting my bad one. You know, but I think you're more experienced. You're not forcing it. For me, when I'm fighting it, I'm forcing it, and it's making it worse. So you're at least you've got the experience to just kind of
You got
just
it all wrong. It's actually not going well, and I'm not doing a good job with it. So anything else from last night's game that you didn't get to?
From the game itself, I thought Peyton Krebs did a good job on the top line with Thompson and Tuck, right? Like, this is a weird situation because they tried Greenway. They wanted to shake things up. I felt like Zucker would have probably been the best option on that top line, but now he's hurt. And so because he did go there a little bit in Calgary, but then got hurt, so Krebs went up there. So I felt like, okay, well, maybe we're seeing a little something out of Peyton Krebs. Now, when the goalie was pulled, he had a chance to make an aggressive play, maybe cut to the middle, give it to somebody, get the open net. He decided to take the safer approach, and I get that. Like, it's Peyton Krebs, and he's like, I've got a chance to just chip it off the boards and get it deep, not an icing. And that's why, like, the new way of doing things is be aggressive. Take a shot at the empty net, like, because you never know, especially against the Oilers, when they can score and come back. So, yeah, but he was trusted in that position. I thought that he was pretty good in the game.
They got Vancouver tomorrow, and the Canucks are terrible at home, have been for quite a while beyond this year. Demko, though, is returning.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
Well, what I make of that is that, look, the Vancouver Canucks with or without Thatcher Demko are two different teams. And I get it. They signed Kevin Lankinen, and last year he did pretty good. They've not defended well in front of him. That game against Detroit the other day, our good friend Shayna Goldman put a few clips online when they played. That was a couple nights ago. She's like, how about protecting the front of the net? Detroit was all over Lankinen alone in front of him a few times. Now, they played different with Thatcher Demko, but the big question mark now, and it's being discussed around the NHL everywhere, is Quinn Hughes. What is Quinn Hughes' future? And, you know, because it doesn't seem to be going in the right direction in Vancouver with, you know, Adam Foote as a head coach. Now the goaltending's been, you know, injured, and Demko's coming back. But I think there's a lot of question mark in Vancouver.
Well, where do you think Hughes ends up? Because I think he will now be traded this year.
I think he will be traded before the deadline this year. It's probably the best time to get Quinn Hughes, really, to be honest with you, because you're looking at his contract and you're saying, okay, well, he's got another year at 7.85, which is a great value for a defenseman like Quinn Hughes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be New Jersey right now, but it's just a team that maybe is like, hey, let's get Quinn Hughes, get him for this run and next year's run, and then we'll see what happens. And maybe we can convince him to stay here and not go to New Jersey to play with his brothers. And I think the Devils eventually may end up with him, but I think there's another team in between that's going to want to crack at Quinn Hughes and getting him.
Who? In the East? Because it's got to come from the East.
It's got to come from the East. I hate to even say that. My original thought would be the Florida Panthers, just because they're a team that's going to try to be so aggressive in going three. And if they were to put Barkov on long-term injured reserve at some point to say he's not going to play in the playoffs, then all of a sudden you get all that money of his contract to be able to spend. Right now they can't because he's not been cleared out for the whole season. So right now he's on long-term IR, but with a potential to return. If they put him on no potential to return, then they would have the room, I think. So I'm saying Florida would be a player in the Quinn Hughes sweepstake.
Wow. Tampa probably could use him more.
Yeah, because of all the injuries that they've got
back
there.
It's really comes down to what can they give up. And, you know, the Capitals have a lot of young guys. the Capitals might be a really good fit here.
Capitals could be a good fit as well. But again, it's got to be a team that think they can win at all. Like, I'm not looking at the Montreal Canadiens or the Ottawa Senators, or, you know, I'm looking at a team that is going to say, hey, you know what? We have a chance to win it all, and let's go with that. So, oh, by the way, like, you know, news around the NHL, Jacob Fowler has gotten called up by the Montreal Canadiens. They lost 6-1 to the Tampa Bay Lightning last night. They used both goalies again. So Dobesh went in, gave up 3. Montembeau went in. So they decided, you know what? Let's call up our 21-year-old, very high-end prospect who, after 2 years of college hockey in Boston, he now is his first pro, full pro season. He's played 15 games this year in 15 game overall. I think it's 9 this year and 6 last year, but whatever. And he got called up and probably get the start tomorrow in against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Well, again, Demko is expected for Vancouver. I would assume Lyon for Buffalo.
I would assume. I mean, but I've been so wrong, and it's like becoming this thing. But I mean, you know, now that Colton Ellis is in the concussion protocol, and you know, Luukkonen got pulled the last game, and Lyon came in twice now and did decent. I mean, you got to go with Lyon. I think this is a pretty sure bet that Alex Lyon would be your starting goaltender. And and Alex Lyon, when he got the run as the number one early in the season, was really good, really consistent. Mm-hmm. Now the three-goalie system happened, and it kind of took away from that rhythm. Didn't play as much, didn't play as well, which led to less starts. So maybe that's giving Lyon a little bit of a run here and see what happens, because they play on Thursday, and then they don't play until Sunday. So it's not like, you know, you're very heavy in your schedule. You got time. Like, play Lyon Thursday in Vancouver. Maybe playing him again Sunday against Seattle. I mean, depending on what happened Thursday night.
So unfortunate for Ellis, obviously, to get hurt on that play. I don't know how much of the other games you were able to watch simultaneously, but this is something you and I have talked about a lot. And it's fine to sit here and debate goaltender interference in the moment when there's a goal.
Yes.
The concern league-wide should be the safety of the goaltenders in non-scoring plays.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that was a non-scoring play last night. They called it right, but the result was still very bad for Colton Ellis. The New Jersey-Ottawa game was out of control. I've never seen a goaltender be so preoccupied with the referee for an entire period as Markstrom was, because he was getting run over repeatedly, and it would not stop. And it was almost as if Markstrom asking the refs to do something about it made it worse. Sheldon Keefe was beside himself, and I was concerned that it was going to end very poorly for Markstrom because Ottawa was just having their way. Yeah. And it just... I just don't want to see this trend. You know, I don't want to see the goalies getting run. I realize it's a really fine line trying to protect
them. And it's a fast game, but so here's my solution to that, Duffer. Okay. And I've mentioned it before, and that like there almost needs to be a warning track that lets players know you're getting close to the crease. Be careful, because once you enter this, so I would do like a little like dotted line, maybe a couple of feet outside of the crease to just say, that's the warning track. You're entering this area at your own risk. I think it would go twofold. Number one, these driving plays to the net, players would be more careful to say, oh, I gotta, you know, I'm getting close. And number two, when there is a screen or, you know, a goal that's been scored, like players would also know, I'm getting into that area now that I have to be very careful of where I'm at. It would just give them a little bit of a reminder.
Well, then the irony is that you would never expect goaltender interference in a shootout. And poor Scott Wedgwood got run over accidentally by his former teammate, Philip Forsberg.
Yes.
So the Avs and Preds were in a shootout because Makar scored in the dying seconds. O'Reilly opened the shootout with a goal, and then Forsberg, while failing to complete the move that he wanted, inadvertently ran right over Wedgwood. He showed obvious concern, but nothing happened other than Wedgwood got back up and then faced Steven Stamkos in the next round.
Yeah.
Now we're waiting for Gabe Landeskog to take the final shot to get things even, and the concussion spotter pulls Wedgwood from the game.
Yeah.
And I can see, I'm watching it, and the referees are going over to the Avs bench, and there's like five guys laughing in the face of the ref, like, you're not seriously going to come over and tell us that you're taking our goaltender out in the shootout, right?
Yeah.
And sure enough, they did. So poor UC Saros is standing there waiting at the other end to make one save to win the game.
Yeah.
Poor Gabe Landeskog is standing here waiting for 5 minutes for one shot to tie the game. And Mackenzie Blackwood is like, seriously? And he never ended up having to face
He never
shot
did, yes. So
because Landeskog missed on the shootout. But now, like, oh my gosh, what a sequence.
So I've always been saying, like, when it comes to goaltenders, there should be maybe another step between the concussion spotter calls and you got to go to the room. Like, maybe it's take a whistle, go to commercial break, then have your trainer evaluate your goalie. Because a goalie is different than a player. Player misses a shift or two shifts, that's fine. Goalies are different. So I think that there maybe should be another step. But we're also talking about the safety and head, you know, health of athletes here. So, you know, you don't want to brush it under the rug. But this, like, my mind is thinking is, it's game 82. The shootout is tied at one. And now Nashville has to take a shot on Mackenzie Blackwood because the concussion spotter pulled Wedgwood. And if Colorado lose, they don't make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I'm thinking. And Wedgwood did not hit his head on the post. It was more the shoulder, but he got up slowly. And I mean, he got winded a little bit, but the concussion spotter doesn't know that.
Right.
So when they called down, I wish there was another step for the trainer to say, let me look at you. Give me 30 seconds to a minute. And let me look at you and see if you can go back. But at least they're protecting the athletes and removing them. Especially coming off the Bills game where T. Higgins was, you know, in concussion protocol the week before and then hit his head twice and was never removed from the game. Like, that's a tough look for a league. So at least the NHL is doing what they think is best for the athletes.
The Avs are going to make the playoffs. They are 21.
My scenario is not going to happen. Yes.
They are 21-2-7.
Yes.
They are 0-4 in shootouts. Yeah. So that's
there's no shootouts in playoffs and then the Stanley Cup Finals, so they don't care.
Dallas, meanwhile, is still right on their heels at 9-0-2 after another win last night against Winnipeg. And speaking of goaltenders, he won't be Calder eligible. But Brandon Bussey is 9-1 to start his NHL career. He's won 7 in a row for Carolina. Is he the night one starter when the playoffs roll around?
He could be.
He might be.
He might be because the other two are always get banged up and, you know, the Anderson and Kochetkov. So Brandon Bussey could be. And, you know, we talked about Wallstedt a lot. Like, Brandon Bussey was a high-level prospect, like, when he was – but he was moved to Carolina. But yeah, you've got when you get those high end prospects, like, they could surprise you. That's why I mentioned Fowler, but those type of goaltenders, they could come in and if you put them in the right situation, which Carolina is a good situation, something can happen.
Levi expected to start for Rochester tonight as they are in Belleville. The Amerks are 2-0-2 in their last four, having had a really nice win on Friday in Charlotte and then a really painful one Saturday because they lost the multi-goal lead in the third and then lost in overtime.
I did some numbers on Levi quickly, Duffer. He had a little bit of a dip a few games ago, and maybe the goals, he's still giving up 3 goals or whatever, but I looked at the goal save above expectation, and over the last 5 or 6 games, he's playing at a better level than what is expected when you look at the numbers. So, maybe the goals against is and the save percentage isn't where you would want it to be, but the underlying numbers, the data tells you that he's coming back on the track that he needs to be right now.
All right, don't want you to miss out on this Give 716 holiday raffle, which is a guaranteed jackpot of $71,600. There will be secondary prizes as well. It's presented by Northtown Automotive. All proceeds benefit local nonprofit organizations in Western New York, and you can get your ticket now through December 27th, sabres.com/50/50. Marty, and more fun with goalies coming up.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
This year's Sabres Kids Club features two levels of fun, the All-Star membership and rookie membership. You can learn how each option helps the young Sabres fan in your life stay locked in on the team. And it's a perfect gift, according to Sabretooth. You can learn more about it at sabres.com/kidsclub. We know about your snacking habits on the bench as a goalie.
Yes.
What do we know about Luukkonen's?
Well, it's very concerning. So I believe this was taken before the Calgary game. He was on the bench and he was kind of like going in, like almost like there was something he was fishing for in this like wrapper or whatever. And then he didn't eat it all. So then he used tape to wrap it. It was weird. Like, I don't know what it was, if it was a special. I once would do chocolate bars before games. And then my coach in Philly, John Stevens, was very old school. He's like, don't you know that it's not good to have sugar before the game? So anyway, let's take a look at what Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen was doing on the bench before the Calgary game.
Whatever is happening here before the game, some sort of snack collection.
The old honey stinger. Look, this is brilliant that the boys pointed this out. And he didn't like something in there, so he decides to wrap it up. We don't know if he's squirreling it away for later. He's putting it in his pad as a snack. I'm deferring to you as the goalie, as one of the presidents of the weirdo corporation known as goaltenders.
Absolutely.
Can you explain this?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Francis. You know, and I... Going to turn it up to Kelly here at one point too. Like, you know, getting inside a goaltender's mind, this is incredible.
I don't like that he said that this is the weirdo association. Like, you know, I take offense to that as a member of the goalie union as well. But yeah, like, I don't know if it was a little special snack, and you know, a lot of guys do sometimes the gels, the hydration gels and stuff like that. It almost looked like it was a little soft that Luukkonen was looking. Maybe there was a piece of hair in it or something he was trying to get out. Like, I'm like this. And then he's like, yeah, you know what? I'll wrap it. I'll do it later.
Well, one would expect Alex Lyon tomorrow night in Vancouver for sure. Yeah. Last thought on just what last night might mean for tomorrow night.
Well, I'll tell you this. For me, like Lindy Ruff's been talking about, we need more goals. But the key to this game was how they defended, how they didn't give up many opportunities. Penalty kill was good. They were up 3-0. It wasn't like a 7-6 game. Like, so you got to defend against Vancouver to win. That's going to be the number one priority.
Indeed. And hoping for a little bit more good fortune in the health department would be nice. We'll see you tomorrow on Sabres Live.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.